This is very detrimental to a church, for a church to allow this kind of response and attitude to be part of the fellowship, because it breeds all types of sin whenever you get to the point that you're arrogant and you are very, very disrespectful when it comes to what your calling is. Verse 3 through 5 is where I'm going to focus our attention. He says, "For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present, him who has so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Here we talk about the remedy. Verse 1, the report. Verse 2, the church's response. Verse 3 through 5 is the remedy that Paul has put in place. Now, these verses, I'm talking about verse 3 through 5, they speak to the surgical procedure that the church is to perform. This man and his cancerous behavior must be extricated from the church for the sake of the church and for the sake of the man who has committed this deed. When you think in terms of verse number 3 through 5, this is what is called church discipline. This is a biblical mandate that God, through Christ, through the apostle, has mandated the church to perform. This is what many in religion call the forgotten commandment. I have been here 35 years, and the 35 years that I've been here, I don't know of any time that we have put this into practice where we have disfellowshipped someone because of their sin. What I'm saying to you is that the leadership has made a decision that we are no longer going to let this be the forgotten commandment. This church is going to engage in church discipline. I'm going to introduce it to you today, but it will be carried out through diligent study. And if anyone falls in this category, we will have to perform the discipline that needs to be done in order to keep the body of Christ pure. Now, when you think in terms of this, notice now, in verse 3 through 5, Paul appeals to his apostolic authority. "I'm not there, but I have already made a decision as though I were there. I've already judged the situation. This thing this man is doing is not to be tolerated." So not only does he appeal to his apostolic authority, but he also appeals to the authority of Christ. Verse 4, he says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus, ye being gathered together, my spirit," watch him as he involves and invokes the spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord, he says that you deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, when he says deliver, he's simply saying we've got to come together in an assembly. This must be done publicly. Publicly. The whole church is to be involved in this discipline of brothers and sisters who are blatantly outside of the will of God and who have not repented. When he says to deliver, it simply means make it official. He says to deliver, make it official, make it formally part of your agenda. this is excommunication. This is withdrawal of fellowship. This is withdrawal of fellowship. This is putting him out, putting her out. Amen. All right, y'all not saying amen, but I don't blame you. All right, but that's okay, that's okay. Because of the nature of the procedure, which is public, there are many of us who feel that this is an exaggeration. We feel like it's too humiliating. We feel like it's out of character with what the love of Christ is. Shame on the church that would be involved in this kind of public censure of people in the church when we ought to be loving everybody. And they want to put it on Christ. But let me tell you what Christ says. All right, since we bring Christ into the, there, go with me to Matthew 18, verse number 15 through 17. Let's listen to Jesus. Is that red writing in your Bible? All right, if that's red writing, then that means that Jesus is speaking. All right, there are four stages to the process of discipline. And Jesus points them out. He says, if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him, what's the word, alone. Now, notice, if your brother, you're in a relationship, and someone sins against you, you need to go to him, express the fault, the sin between you and that person alone. That's the first stage in the process. If he hear thee, are you with me? Thou hast gained thy brother. If he hears thee, thou hast gained thy what? Not your enemy. You have gained your what? Brother. All right? But if he hear thee what? Not. Stage, second stage in the process. Take with thee one or two more. In other words, get a couple of the elders to go home with you. That at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. Here's what he's simply saying. That if you got the evidence, you got what you know to be fact, not hearsay. Because you can't go by just saying, well, I heard. No, you got to know. Because this process only works when you are definitely sure about what it is. In other words, in this process, you cannot throw a rock and hide your hand. In this process, you have to witness against the person that has sinned. And then you have witnesses out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. What you're doing is you're following Jesus' example. He said, you got to make every word, that every word may be established. In other words, you got to make sure that it is what it is. You see, some of us, we just like, well, I think she has an attitude. And you can't be bringing church discipline on what you think. Amen. And what I feel has got to be based on fact. Are you with me? And watch this now. Here's the third part of the process. And if he refuses to hear them, first it was hear you, hear them. Tell it or tell the sin fault unto the church. Are you with me? And if he refuses to hear the church also. Now watch this, you had somebody. Now what I like about this is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this man's sin was well reported to the church. In this process, Jesus is simply saying, if it's not well reported, but it just happens within the body, here's the way you bring it to the public. This is how you get it before the church. Now, if your husband is abusive to you, and he hits you, and he, then you don't have to sit there and take it. You can tell him his fault. Say, you're wrong putting your hands on me. Now, if he says, I'm sorry, and forgive me, amen, and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, then you've gained your brother or your husband. But if he hits you again, and he gets
to the point and say, well, I don't care. I'm just me. All right. Then go get the elders. Go get two or three others. Amen. Show them how he hits you. Amen. Amen. Now, you didn't just run into a refrigerator. No. He hit you. Are you with me? Now, after that, and then by that time, he ought to repent. Amen. But if he's so arrogant and he's so puffed up that he will not, amen, then you bring that matter to the church. You make that matter public. And you bring that brother to the church and you require that brother to repent. Or we're going to tell it to the church. Amen. No, it's going before the church. You can't do wrong in your house and think that because it's in my house that the Lord is not going to, amen, allow the body to deal with it. Now, we had done this a long time ago. We'd have saved a whole lot of marriages and a whole lot of families. But there ain't nothing we can do about spilled milk now. But I guarantee you, all the milk that's in the bucket now, we're going to try to save it. Am I right about it? No. You don't do your devil, man, and then the church, amen, got the hands tied. No, if you're willing to bring it to the church. Now watch this. Now, if he's so arrogant, most men and women by this time, they would have gotten it straight. But every now and then you get somebody who just say, well, I don't care. Well, once they get to that point, then here's the fourth process. He says, and if he refused to hear the church, also let him be unto thee as the Gentiles and the publican. This is where we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This man has refused. Now, I'm sure somebody must have gone to him. And if they didn't go to him, they should have gone to him and told him what you're doing is not right. And he should have been witnessed to him to the point where now it has gotten to this point that Paul says, you must discipline this man. Now, here's what he says. He says, now watch this. I'm in verse number 17. He says, let him be unto thee as what? The Gentile and the publican. Now, this is Jewish. I know this is under the Jewish law, but the same principle is spoken of even in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And that is that once a thing comes to the point where this person is blatantly unrepentant and will not submit to the will of God, then you have to treat him as a heathen. Now, there are only two spheres of reigning or reign in the world. Either one is under the reign of God through Christ. That is where God, he's being led by God, obeying God, willing to submit to God's will. Or a person is under the devil, Satan, who is the ruler of this age. He is one that, these are the only two. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you got a brother that is so bent on doing the things that are wrong, that everybody knows that what he's doing is of the devil. Are you with me? The Bible said, deliver him unto Satan. In other words, kick him out. Take him out of this fellowship. He ain't doing right no way. He don't intend to do right. He haven't heard the first, second, or third. By this time, when he won't listen to the church, excommunicate him. Deliver him to Satan. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting to me. Is that once you publicly acknowledge this brother is no longer in fellowship with us, what he's doing is of the devil. We are about righteousness. We are about holiness. We are trying to do the will of God and to let that man stay over here and do what he wants to do. Shame on us. Let it publicly be known that this brother is no longer in fellowship with us. All right? Now, let me tell you something about when you are delivered over to the devil. Here's what I know about the devil. Well, let me start with God. Go get me Job 2, and I want verse number 6 and 7. Put that on the screen. Job chapter 2. Now watch this. And the Lord said to Satan, you remember? You remember? The devil came to God and he said, God said, where are you coming from, Satan? He said, I've just been going up and down looking for, are you with me? And then God said, have you considered my servant Job? For Job is one who is what? Upright and eschews evil. And watch what the devil said. The devil said, why should I consider him? You got a hedge around him. In other words, I can't get to him. Every time I try to accuse him, every time I try to afflict him, every time I try to get close to him, you won't let me. You got a hedge around him. Everybody in the kingdom of God, in the church of our Lord, that's trying to do right, live right, God has a hedge around you. And the devil can't get to you. But when you get to the point that the church got to disfellowship you, turn you over to the devil. Once you get over here, that hedge that was over there is gone. No, you wanna live any kind of way you wanna live, do what you wanna do. Well, get on over there and do it. I'm not gonna protect you anymore. You didn't listen to the first admonition, you didn't listen to the second, you didn't listen to the third. You so bad, you so bold to do what you wanna do, get on over there. And whatever hedge I had, I'm taking it away. You don't ever want to be from over there and turned over to the devil. Well, here's what the devil's going to do. Watch this. John 10:10. The thief. The devil is a thief. He's a thief. He ain't going to do nothing but take from you. No. God will give to you, but the devil is going to take from you. Okay, go on with your bad self. You don't want to obey God. You don't want to be in the fellowship. Get on out there. And the devil, not only did he take one thing, he's going to take a whole lot from you.
That's right.
Oh, yes. You know what else he's going to do? He's going to destroy you.
Amen.
And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is where? He is where? I know I should. God put Job in his hand. In other words, he extended the hedge. He said, here's the last hedge. Just don't take his life. And watch how the devil did it. He took his children. See, when you turned over to the devil, when you get out of the fellowship of God, it'll destroy your family. No, 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 your family's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Amen. And you say, well, I just feel like I ought to be able to do what I want to do. Go on then, go on, go on. Let the devil, you and the devil just make a pact. Ah, we just going to get down.
Amen.
When that devil gets through sifting you, sending you through his wash cycle of trials and tribulation and disease, folk who leave God, they are afflicted. Huh?
Amen.
Here's one thing I know. The people who left, who didn't want to act right in this fellowship, they're not ignorant of what God wants. No, they know.
Amen.
They know they had no business putting their hand on them. They know they shouldn't have cast you out. They know that they shouldn't have drug you out there in the middle of that street and just made a fool out of you. They know that.
Amen.
They know they ain't got no business with that woman.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't want to pray with me now.
Amen.
Oh, no, 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 no. We all sin and we all come short. You ought to get rid of that phrase.
Amen. Amen.
You're just giving yourself over to the devil. Talking about, well, I'm weak anyway. No, 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 no. You say, God, put a hedge around me. All right, verse 7. I know I need to quit. Now watch this. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Have you ever wondered where all these diseases are coming from?
Amen.
They don't come from God. You don't ever want to be turned over to the devil. To deliver such a one to the destruction of the flesh. I'm back at verse number 5, and I'm through. I'm through. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5. And I want you to see this now. Put that on the screen. And then I'm through. It may take me 10 minutes, but I'm through. Watch this. Deliver such a one to whom? For what? That his what? In the day of judgment. In other words, this is where the beauty of God comes in. And that is that once he turns you over, it's really not to destroy you, but it's really to what? Save you. In other words, when you get over there in that club and they start shooting and you running trying to duck and oh Lord, save me, save me, save me. If I ever get out of here, I know I'm gonna make it to church on Sunday. Well, you had no business being over there, but thank God, God didn't let him shoot you. How am I doing? I'm going to give you an example. Go to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. You remember God told Jonah, said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He went the opposite way and went to where? Tarshish, running from God. Okay, you don't want to do what I want. You don't want to do what I ask you to do. You just want to live the kind of way you want to live, John. You mean to tell me you think you're gonna get out of my presence by going all the way over there to Tarshish, getting a boat going to Spain when you ought to go? Am I right about it? Well, watch what God did. Watch what God does. The Bible said when he was out there on that boat, The Bible said the Lord sent out a wind. And that boat got in trouble. And all those men on that boat, they knew this wasn't just an ordinary wind and an ordinary storm. They say something wrong. Somebody has made a God mad. And Jonah was down in the belly of the ship asleep. And they went down and woke him up. Man, you better call on the name of your God. And Jonah knew that the storm was because of him. And he said, what you need to do is kick me out. Throw me overboard. The only way to save the ship, the only way to save the church, only way the church gonna make it through, you gotta get that sinner, the one running from God, that old adamant, stubborn, get him out, turn him over. I know people say, well, Berger, they don't seem mind, they don't seem too loving just to kick them out. God said, kick them out. Amen. For the destruction of the flesh. Which seems to mean is that if you kick them out and leave them over there, then let me deal with them.
Amen.
When the devil and I get through with him. He gonna change his attitude. No, he gonna change his attitude. Amen. Devil gonna see to it that you're gonna want to get out. Jonah chapter 2, and I'm through. Then Jonah, you remember the whale came and swallowed him up. Isn't that something? Isn't that good? Don't you know that whale was the grace of God? Because that man was about to drown in that sea. And God sent that whale. But here's what Jonah didn't know. Jonah didn't know, even though he knew he was saved from that storm and out of the sea, he still had no idea if he's going to ever get out of the whale's belly. Jonah. Oh, man. Jonah, listen to him. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Isn't that something? How all of a sudden now you remember the Lord? Amen. Out of the fish's belly. Hurry right quick. Verse number 2. I cried out to the Lord because of my what? And he what? See, some of us, when we do wrong, we're not trying to save. All we want to do is just destroy people.
Amen.
And the Lord answered him, out of the belly of hell, death, I cried. And what? And you what? Heard my voice. Look at the next verse. For you cast me into the what?
Deep.
Into the heart of the what?
Deep.
And the flood surrounded what?
Me.
All your billows and your waves what? Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet, this is the good preaching part. I will what? Look again toward your holy temple. See, God doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to get your attention. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to look at verse number 1. And then I'm through with this verse 2. I keep saying I'm through, but every time I get another verse, are you with me? All right. Read that. Watch this. But I what? Determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. Now, he wrote 1 Corinthians, but now he's writing 2 Corinthians. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. In other words, he said, I really hated to do what I did when I wrote to you. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad? But the one who made sorrowful. Who was made sorrowful by me. In other words, he just simply saying to them, he said, I did what I did. It didn't make me feel good censoring you like that and telling you what you needed to do and telling you need to excommunicate that man. He said, but I'm telling you that if you don't do that, if you don't get that man out of there, a little leaven's going to leaven the whole lump. Now watch this now. Watch him. Watch the next verse. And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you, all that my joy is the joy of you all. Watch verse number. Next verse. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I write to you with many tears, not that you shouldn't be grieved, but that you might know the what? The love. Know the what?
The love.
Which I so what?
Abundantly have for you.
See, church discipline is out of love. What God does, he does it out of love. Watch the next verse. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Watch verse number 6. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. He's talking about that man. Now, here's the danger. You let somebody who you know is a sinner stay up in here and you don't discipline them. And you give excuse, say, well, we all. No need to point a finger at him and doing him. You point with one finger, you got four pointed back at you or three pointed back at you. No. We're gonna have to learn.
Amen.
That brother, that sister, got to be dealt with sufficiently. Now watch the next verse. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. In other words, the man that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, once discipline was applied, the man repented. Now, our problem is once he repents, we don't want to accept him. So he said, no. If he repents, you got to what? Well, I don't even know how to end. Let me just share you this story with you, the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son didn't want to stay home? And the father had to let him what? The father had to let him what? No, you want to be out there, go. Here your money. You don't want to be under God's laws, abide by what's right, go. Where did he find himself?
With the hogs.
He was in the what?
Oh,
then all of a sudden he remembered what? He got it too. And he said, in other words, I'm over here. Let me run and get back over here. Now, that's the lesson. The love of that father is the love that God has for every person who violates his law. When you have to perform church discipline, it's to save your brother, not to throw your brother away, not to destroy your brother, but it's designed to save him. And when he is saved, then do as God does. He illustrated that in the story of the prodigal son. He said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. But that father restored him to sonship, gave him his ring back. Are you with me? Put a robe on his back and put shoes on his feet. And that elder brother, which is most church members, amen, have a problem when they come back to the body of Christ.
Somebody, I never would have done anything like that. And y'all gonna just let him come on back in here and do that? All right, well, all right. Seemed like I should have done a better job, but I did what I needed to do. All right. You've heard the gospel through discipline. We are part of a holy calling. Don't you want to be in Christ where there is a hedge around you, where God protects you and will not let Satan overtake you? You need to be in Christ. You need to be in the church where God's spiritual blessings continuously bless you. You don't ever want to be where the devil is reigning and ruling and controlling your life. We're asking you to come out of the world. Come into Christ, where Christ said that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You come to him by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave, which is for the remission of sin. It's good to know that God will remit your sin, and he will cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. You ought to come back to God. You ought to rededicate yourself to a God who loves you, whose compassion is far beyond any that we could ever imagine. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin, and its victory will help you and some other to win. Fight manfully on, word dark, passion subdue, and you just look ever to Jesus, and him will carry you through. And why don't you ask the Savior to help? Ask him to come for strength and keep you, and he is willing and able to aid you, and Jesus will carry you.